Hello. Some people know me from other ladies' conferences where I was more concerned with aesthetic aspects of historic architecture. And this time I present something that is more oriented on practical aspects of historic buildings, or ancient buildings to be more precise. And I want to present you the FOSS-CAD tools, which we want to use to introduce new kind of knowledge, an additional source of knowledge into the field of archaeology. And what we want to do is we want to give archaeologists and building historians the opportunity to understand the use of rooms or areas within these buildings better. And you want to apply for this climate-based daylight modeling. So for example, you want to show in which places sufficient condition, for example, for color visions are there, or where I'm able to see fine details for certain domestic activities. Because archaeologists not in all cases know what rooms were used for. They want to some things can be found out by finds, by tools and other stuff, but this is not always clear, and finds can also move through architecture, so it's not clear if they are actually used at the place where they were found. And so we want to look in this in the spatial dimensions, but also in the temporal dimension, for example, to which hours of a day which a certain activity has to take place, for example, receiving guests, and which rooms at that time these conditions are fine. And the same is true for the season of the year. We have some activities that only fit to certain seasons and others that are all over the season. So, and then we have, we want to, what we calculate is at the end, not only horizontal illumination, but also vertical illumination, because this ancient activity is not typically bound to desks. So we think that we have the opportunity for maximum vertical illumination, because I can turn a special piece that I'm working on, for example, in the right direction, so I have the best opportunities to see something. And we provide, we want to provide data for, in this case, three use cases. On the left, you see Oron, which is a classical Greek city. And in the center, you see what we present now, Pompeii, which is in the first century after Christ, and Roman architecture, obvious. And in the right picture, you see Ostia, which is a couple of centuries later. And what I want to show you is I want to give you a quick tour how this tool works, because this tool has to address certain differences to modern architecture. For example, doors are more important than windows, because windows are typically small in this kind of architecture, or we have rooms that are lit through other rooms, which is not very common in our architecture today. And it is configured by temporal hours. So we divide the day in 12 hours. So the hours in the summer are longer and shorter in the winter, to reflect what is written in literature, because in ancient times you use these temporal hours for your daily activities. And the tool should be as simple that a building historian or an archaeologist can use it. So it is a simplified workflow, and it also adapts to their tooling. For example, we load our data into a GIS system where archaeologists are able to compare the results with their finds that are typically stored there. And we also adapt to reconstruction models, which of course are the basis for our calculations, which are organized in a certain way, which like a typical room book building historians use when they pick up such stuff. So we have I show you the preparation of the model and the installation of the simulation, the GIS import, and the application of some thresholds. And at the end, I show a little bit about a kind of validation that we did, that to show that our tools are robust for this kind of architecture that we are applying it to. So starting with the model, you will see a Rhino model here, which is structured in a way I described. For example, you see these lines with a hierarchical layer structure. The numbers you're seeing reflect from Pompeii for the region, the insula, and the entrance of a house, which is typically an organization scheme that we have and that we have to reflect in these models to be compatible to other kinds of archaeological research. And on the last level, we also have a floor level or a higher level, and we have certain materials for the walls, for the ceilings, for the floors, which can be set. And actually, we use the floor material to identify the floors for and use that for doing an adaptive grid there for our sensors automatically, so that the archaeologists don't have to do that. This kind of modeling results in very strange layer names in the OBJ files, and the PhosphorD tools are able to work with that and to extract the part that actually is the material and define and fit it to the material definition. So we want to invite you to test this for us yourself. So we set up a little Git repository where we have one of our insulas as an OBJ model and EPV file, weather file, material definition file, so you can start using these tools. And if you actually want to do that, you need Python because PhosphorD tools is based on RayTraverse, which in itself is based on Radiance. And PhosphorD tools and RayTraverse are from Steven Wasilewski, so we are here. If you switch into the folder, you can configure a virtual environment in Python here called env. You define it as the source for what you are doing here, and you use pip, you upgrade it, your environment, and you install RayTraverse, and then you can clone the repository of the actual PhosphorD tools and install them as well. You have to deactivate and activate the environment before you are able to use it, because there are certain settings in the Radiance environment which can only be activated in this way. If you have done that, you see the env folder here, and if you use the newdir command in the PhosphorD tools, it generates you additional folder structure and provides you with a setup file, which gives you the possibility to go on and to put all your stuff there. You can then set up the PhosphorD tools with a reference to the actual geometry. And after you've done that, you get a lot of more folders, for example, a Radiance directory with the RAD files, and also a zone file where all the zones for the grids are now placed as a Radiance file that you can address. And you also have some configuration files for generating some check images. In that stage, you can actually use tools like OBJView to inspect if your model is actually working. You see that on the left side, and you can run the check file after adjusting some rights to that file that you actually can run it, and that it generates you a folder with images. Where you also can check every room, so every zone gets its own fisheye views in both directions, so you can see if anything is off there as well. After that, you actually run the tool, run the simulation, You give as a parameter the zone or all the zones if you want to, and then the simulation runs. And at the last step, you actually use the summarize tool, which converts the NumPy files that the simulation creates in the results folder, and it generates in the standard settings four files. One containing horizontal illumination in 10 centimeter high and 1 meter, and this is the second file, and the third file and the fourth file do this for maximal vertical illumination in 1 meter and 1 meter 50. And the files are all structured in a way you can see in the lower part of this image. You have the zone reference there, you have the coordinates of the of a point, you have the area of that point, and then you get values over the day and over the months. So the first is the month, the second would be the day of the month, but in the standard settings all the days are integrated to one value, and then you have the 12 hours of the day. For each, you get a value. In this case, the median median of the illumination. So, with that table, you can import the stuff to a GIS. For example, you can download QGIS, which is open source, and you have to configure there your project. You have to choose a coordinate system. For example, here, this is this Monte Mario coordinate system, which is actually suitable for Pompeii and is used by the archaeological park. And if you've done that, you can import freely available things like OpenStreetMap or Google satellite maps that you can compare your values to. And to actually load, you import a delimited layer into that. Referencing obviously the file and looking at the at the different settings here, and then in the last step you have to translate your model to the right place. You have to know one coordinate point, maybe a source of your model, and then you can actually start visualizing what you get here. For example, you can choose from the table one column, meaning one set, one times time slot, and add that, for example, certain colors or values, and get something like this. This is a high density grid here for this actual architecture. Don't mind the offset, which is I made a mistake rotating the model, so this is a little bit off, but this actually works. And in the last step, we provide some small helper tools. You can also program everything in QGIS with a Python library, and we added some stuff, for example, to extract the upper story or the lower story of this data set, or in the next step, we have some tools that helps you a little bit to deal with the arrangement of these columns, and in the next step, we have a tool that you can use to configure, for example, the minimum, a median for all the hours, and minimum in the month where the lowest values are situated, and this is also given here. And to apply that, you generate a new layer and fill it. And for example, here we use this story selection, and we calculate for July and August the first until the last hour, and add it all up to a median value, and then you get something like this. And this is obviously freely configurable. You can, for example, use threshold for color vision, or what you see as good color vision, or what you see at good acuity for a certain task, you can compare it obviously with prompts and think about which activities you can do with these settings. So to show that this is robust, we looked at our parameterization. We looked where the our results converge, and we also did a comparison with standard radiance methods, in this case Genulit, to have a plausibility that we don't mix up anything by programming this tool, for example. For that, we used two rooms. One is facing north with a big opening, is arch door. It was a shop. And another room, which is situated next to a garden, and which is mostly lit through through other rooms. So we have a more complex case of lighting in this case. And we choose certain AV values with the fitting LW values and apply it to both rooms. And what you can see here that the lowest setting, the 10,000 AV setting, is still a little bit wobbly, but the other values converge. So we use this 40,000 setting for the comparison with Genulit, which is similarly configured, and find that this in the most cases works quite good, so that we can be assured that this is that we are not totally off or made some stupid mistake. So again, be invited to test it for yourself and give feedback if you want to. And on the last slide we have the large working group of daylight research, building history, archaeology, and ancient history that are going through the sources to find more about the activities that we can actually search in with these tools. So, thank you.